And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I'm here this evening with a group of really awesome young people who are, we're having a lot of fun, first of all, and, you know, a lot of old people are like, oh, the young people today. And, you know, whenever I meet the young people today, I'm pretty much blown away. So I would say, if that's what you say in your armchair, go out and meet some young people. Because we have a lot of students from C.R. Walker hanging out at the gallery every afternoon, and they are met to a man and woman, amazing. And I have to say, I'm enjoying this group right here, and I feel good about the future of the Bahamas. So I'm here with Suhaila Hepburn, Tanisha Pratt, and Ide Amari Thompson, who decided to, you know, reanimate the Tamarin Journal, which was a journal published by UB for written word. And they have, on their own, decided that, you know, this has to keep going. And I'm so impressed by that. We are going to, before we get back into the discussion, we're going to hear a piece of poetry from Suhaila Hepburn.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah. My poem isn't as, like, very, like, you know, like, tropically endued as, like, Ide's or Tanisha's. But I still feel like it has, like, the element of, like, change. Mm-hmm. Faux female. A wave has passed through, and left behind are the corpse of ideals and identity. I've lost a bit of rest, wrestling in bed with the thoughts of waiting. Courage and strength drain from the ripples of the wave that dashed through me, sudden, saddened by the truth that it brought, sullen by the truth I did not live. I've lost more than I thought when the wave passed through me. Clean me, claim me with the power of its water. Drain me of this grime so I may lose this low loathing. I want to lose what's impossible to forget. Forged female, faded femme. I've lost the script ordained at birth, divergence from prophecy. He properly awash with the wave.
Thank you. I would still say there's quite some tropicality in there.
Yeah. The wave.
I was going to say, if you're living in Ohio, you are not washing, writing about being washed by the waves. Thank you so much for sharing.
Welcome.
So before the break, we were getting all like heated about talking about language. Any of you change voices? Do you have a particular voice you always write in, or do you ever switch it out from writing in one, you know, like one time you really want to use very specific local language, mm-hmm. and other times, like, you know, for this, what I'm speaking about, do you ever do that, or do you have like a single approach?
Well, for me, like, I use a mixture of, like, you know, mm-hmm. standard English and, you know, Bahamian Creole, and I also like to bring in like Spanish, mm-hmm. and different languages, and then so I may draw like a random like Latin word, a random mm-hmm. German word, and mm-hmm. I like bring these different experiences into language in my writing, because language is a way of seeing the world, and I think when you bring in different perspectives, it changes.
Absolutely, and yeah. Also what I think, which is very interesting, and I noticed this when I first had the experience, I've been very lucky to have lived in many countries in my life, and the first time I lived away was in France, and I realized that my bilingual friends changed their personality depending what language they were speaking. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about how, and I think you do, when you learn a language, I speak four languages, and my sister now speaks much better French than I do, and she becomes a different person. She becomes a little French lady when she speaks, you know? And it's interesting that how language shapes your way of being. And so there's an interesting question about, did languages arise because of who we were? So the people native to that region mm-hmm. created a language that expressed them, mm-hmm. or do we become shaped by the language we speak? Mm-hmm. Which I think is a really interesting...
I think the latter. I was watching a documentary of foreigners in Japan, and this one guy, he said, you will never understand Japanese people until you learn the language. And the issue that a lot of foreigners have is when they travel to Japan, for example, they want to go there, they want to be accepted, but then they're not willing to compromise. And then he says, like, once you start learning the language first, all the customs and everything makes sense to mm-hmm. you. Their politeness, their mm-hmm. cleanliness, everything would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I do agree with that. As someone mm-hmm. that speaks, you know, languages, it's like you start to shift the way you think mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. also you have to fit how you're thinking into mm-hmm. that language.
Yeah.
And what I think is also interesting, which I like from Ide's work, is that mm-hmm. sometimes there are words in certain languages that we just don't have in our language that express a very particular thought.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Sahela?
I feel like, particularly like in my writing, I write how I speak, and how I speak has like changed over like from when I grew up and when I like entered college. Mm-hmm. Like before, like my like grasp on like Bahamian dialect was very low. It's like very, very standard English because of like the environment that I grew up in. It's like mm-hmm. a lot of people they didn't speak in Bahamian dialect, or like, and I didn't go to like public school or mm-hmm. any type of school. So, so when I entered college, like my amount of like Bahamian dialect that I would use increased. So in my writing, like it shifts depending on how I end up writing it. Sometimes mm-hmm. There will be like use of Bahamian vernacular and stuff like that, but then other times like it seems to be very like standard. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's like a way of like I construct it in a way that where it kind of like the two mesh together. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel that you had to learn more dialect to be more accepted? Because I think, again, you know, it works both ways, language, right? So, you know, you can, if you're speaking dialect, the people might make assumptions about your level of education. But if you're not speaking dialect, then people will also make assumptions about that you think you're too snooty or whatever it is. Oh, or, you know,
they just thought I was American. American, British.
Yeah.
Just not Bahamian. Yeah. I mean, like that, and like in a combination like with being like visibly Muslim and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So mm-hmm. like I felt like, because not all of my like other Muslim friends didn't speak like dialect. It's just like it I took a like a linguistics class mm-hmm. and after that class like it started to like become more apparent mm-hmm. because I became aware of what is Bahamian dialect, what is the different like rules mm-hmm. that define it, and it mm-hmm. made me realize like,
because it has rules, and I think that's what people don't realize, right? Yeah. Is that it has like, rules. It's a proper yeah. language with its proper mm-hmm. like, you know, rules and grammar, and
So I realized like some constructions of like of how I constructed sentences mm-hmm. were actually Bahamian dialect, mm-hmm. like, and I continued to like kind of like just like naturally expand mm-hmm. into it mm-hmm. as I like gained new friends, mm-hmm. talked to more people, mm-hmm. and it kind of just like ended up like, okay, I speak in like standard and dialect, even though when I speak in dialect people are just like, you sound kind of funny.
My kids speak in dialects, they grew up here, and when I speak they just laugh their heads off. They're like, mom, listen, you're just too white, just stop. You're just embarrassing us. And I'm like, you're 13. That's why I'm embarrassing you. But anyhow. Yeah. But that's actually why I asked, because I think, you know, in Bahamian dialect too, it's like there's this thing where when certain people mm-hmm. want to be considered, you know, mm-hmm. intellectual or whatever, they'll put on their college accent. And then mm-hmm. when they want to kind of get the people behind them, yep. I think you probably know mm-hmm. who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. yeah. they'll switch into mm-hmm. dialect, right? So that's also was asking about the voice of the writing. Do you yes. ever feel pressured, like, or not pressured, but, oh, I'd better write this one in quote-unquote proper yeah, English sometimes. Because I'm applying for a grant or something, or do I just want this one to be more accessible, so I'm gonna yeah. write a certain way? Is that yeah. something that ever happens?
A lot actually happened to me. Like I was writing a poem for a competition, and it's in the US, and I'm like, I need to not use so much Bahamian dialect. They may not get it, and I'm like mm-hmm. you know, trying to like make sure, you know, that mm-hmm. I'm writing a poem they can get, because mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. when you write in your own tongue, it's like people outside the community they don't get it.
Sometimes for the audience you may have to mm-hmm. not to say get rid of it, but tone it down a bit, mm-hmm. or that's why writing is such a great skill, because when you're a great creative writer, you can say something and you can find a way to figuratively explain that, mm-hmm. and I also find the benefit of spoken word as well, because it's different from me writing on paper bungee and me saying it out loud.
Yeah, sure.
Stage,
and being able to act like, it. Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Reenacting it and using mm-hmm. my hands to kind mm-hmm. of explain mm-hmm. without really mm-hmm. explaining or saying, oh, well, this is what it means afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sometimes depending on the audience, you don't want to like really break out, because people like to think that, oh, it's a dialect. It's just a dialect and people won't get it. But it's literally a Creole.
Yeah, no, it is a Creole, in fact,
right,
yes. Yeah.
Right, and if you're not used to it, you'll kind of get lost. And Bahamians mm-hmm. speak a little fast. So you may want to speak a little slowly, mm-hmm. use it here and there, yeah. change and say
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say,
yeah.
Instead yeah. of booty, say boogie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I remember when we first moved here, my husband, if he ever had to call somewhere, he'd be like, honey, he was like a little child. He'd be like, can you do it for me? Because he just, you know, it took him a while to get the ear, right? To get the ear for the intonation and the like you said, the speed of the speech. And I think, but I just think it's sort of interesting how people use switching to, again.
And it's so weird because, like, back to what Sahila was saying about trying to speak in dialect, and people would kind of say it's weird. I grew up in Grand Bahama. So Grand Bahamians, they speak a little bit more quote-unquote American or more quote-unquote proper than Nassuvians. And that's something that Nassuvians would always say every time I would fly over to the summer. They'd call me white girl. They'd call me American. They'd call me this and that. So, like, I had this mentality where I needed to assimilate. So I started to act just like them. I wanted to be a junglist because
then you'd be accepted.
Some reason my cousins thought that, you know, like, you gotta be a junglist. You gotta, like, know how to dance. You gotta know how to speak. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got older and I understood the context behind it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really that I have to speak proper or I have to speak Bahamian dialect, but it's taking control and having ownership of that language how I want to. Mm-hmm. And now here I am, I'm a converted Muslim. And I find it so weird how it changes from me having locks and now covering my hair. And people are kind of questioning my Bahamian culture now. So it's like, okay, yesterday I was a regular Bahamian. Now today I'm not really a Bahamian because I'm not Christian. But yet I find myself trying to outwardly display, like, how Bahamian I am.
Right.
You just have to focus on, especially when you're switching up the language, just to not get lost and always be conscious of what your intention is and not trying to really prove yourself too much, but just remaining comfortable in your identity.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a really interesting development as our country evolves, right?
Yeah.
Because, again, when you're an island nation with 50,000 people and everyone is, you know, literally from five tribes or whatever, or churches, let's say, you know, but as the world becomes, again, things evolve, right? And people make choices, and how do we as a young country, like, grapple with those? I mean, for me, I found it very strange coming back here. And even though, you know, again, you know, I grew up in the Anglican Church and the Bahamas is Christian, blah, 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 where, having spent 30 years in Europe, where generally, if you're in a room full of people, there's going to be at least three or four religions, right? So you just don't do open prayers,
things,
right? You don't. Yeah. And so I found it strange that I'd go places and everyone would stand up and say a Christian prayer, because I would just think, well, what if there's someone here who's not? You know, but that's because I spent so much time. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the country evolves with that. We're getting kind of off topic from poetry. but hey, this is all the stuff we deal with in your work, right? And
it's
what
is
so great is in the poetry.
That's the language. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And exactly. And that's what's so great about what we all do. Mm-hmm. Visual culture for me, spoken culture for you, is asking those questions about what is our culture and what is culture and how do we express that through our work. So I think it's really wonderful that you are, again, re-energizing Tamarind Journal. Let's go back to that so the listeners can be reminded that you are putting together the first of the new issue of Tamarind Journal. What is the deadline date for submissions?
Well, our deadline date is April 30th.
April 30th. Okay, so you got some time. So if you're hearing this for the first time, you got time to come up with something awesome.
Yep.
The topic is Tropical Forces and Things That Shape You.
You can also find more about us on Facebook. So it's Tamarind Journal of Creative Writing. And our Instagram is Tamarind Journal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Instagram, Tamarind Journal. Facebook, Tamarind Journal of Creative Writing.
Right.
The email address is tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com. So you can send submissions to that. And then also, we should mention that the Tingham Collective is having a get-together on the 15th, which is next week Thursday, at 7 o'clock at the Pro Gallery. Where I'm hoping many of the listeners have been at the times that I've talked about art exhibitions that are there, and there will be a spoken word event, and that is open to everybody. So I would really sort of encourage anyone who's interested in language, is interested in poetry and spoken word and music, lyrics, to go to that. Any last words, ladies and gentlemen?
I would just like to say, do not be afraid. Like, if you're a person that likes to write secretly in your bedroom and you feel this need to have your work more exposed, do not be afraid to submit. Do not be afraid to publicly express yourselves, express your opinions, especially being a poet. Like, our main priority is to write on the current times, write on what's happening, what is the perspective. All of that is a part of building our history, building the history of the Bahamas, because in 20 years from now, we don't know what the landscape will look like.
Or 100.
Hundred centuries from now, when anthropologists, archaeologists come here, what will we want them to find?
So and then again, that is what culture is, right? Exactly. So it's a good thing. And also, I think, I would imagine, I'm speaking for you, I would imagine anyone who would contact you, you would be happy to, you know, give them good feedback.
Definitely.
Ide does that all the time. Like, Ide is super nice. I'm like, Ide. But yeah, like, feel free to even send a message and say, you know, like, I've been thinking about this and this and that. Feel free. Go ahead. Like, we're always open and we're always available. Mm-hmm. Because it's not only just a journal, but it's also a community of writers. Mm-hmm. We're poets, we're writers, we're creatives. So we all have a voice. We all are able to have a platform to express that.
And that's, I think, why we speak here about visual culture and creative community, because, again, it's this idea of community. And there's many, many different creative communities in the Bahamas. But I think in the end, we all want to be connected somehow. Exactly. And I think anyone listening would find that if you get over your shyness or your sense of fear, any one of those communities that you try to access would be so welcoming and would want to talk to you and encourage you or point you in the right direction.
Yeah, because the journal is open to international journalists as well. Because you want to, like, get submissions from around the world, not just the Bahamas, just the Caribbean. So if you know people in, you know, in the UK and they're writing, send your stuff in, you know.
We have a big Caribbean influence in the UK.
Exactly.
You know.
And Canada.
Canada.
Anywhere Commonwealth, America, actually, of course, but specifically Commonwealth places, because that's where we can go and work with less trouble than anywhere. So we have big diasporas in those places. That's great to know, because I think also creating networks is so important for our young people and artists as well, like networks out of the country. I know, Tanisha, you are looking to attend something away, and that's so important. And, you know, anyone listening, if you want to support any young creatives, by all means, get in touch. Because, again, it's so important for our young creatives to be able to go and meet other people in their field. So when is that possibly happening?
That it's the Women of the World Poetry Slam, and it's going to be March 14th to the 17th. So, yeah, I'll be there from then. They'll have a lot of workshops. It's not only a competition, but it's also a chance to network, learn more about the craft, learn more about spoken word.
And you're going to be flying the Bahamian flag, so that's fantastic.
I'm going to tie it right on my jeans.
Good. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you all for coming in. So you've been hearing from Tanisha Pratt, Suhaila Hepburn, and Ide Amari Thompson, who are just being amazing and, like, recreating the Tamarind Journal. They are encouraging you to send in work, so please do. tamarindjournal.editors@gmail.com. And if you're interested in meeting the gang and other, you know, interested people in spoken word, then do attend the Tingham Collectives event on the 15th, the Pro Gallery at the University of the Bahamas. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. Thanks, guys. It was very nice having you. And come back again. You have been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and good night.